Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk about it from an executive's point of view. And he's also part of the podcast, The GM Shuffle, with Adan Virk, also on The Athletic, where a lot of our friends are working. Let's bring into the program Michael Lombardi. Michael, good afternoon.
Good morning. How are you guys? Well, it's afternoon. I'm in L.A., so it's morning, but good afternoon.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night, I guess, as they say in baseball parlance. Before we get to the draft, Vinny and I were talking about this earlier, Frank Clark going from Seattle to Kansas City for a ton of money, it looks like. How did things get to the level in which Seattle was ready to sacrifice a guy who was prominent on their defense last year?
Well, I mean, look, they signed Russell Wilson to this huge contract. You can't sign too many players to that kind of deal. I mean, Frank got a great deal, and I think that the reality here is, you know, you've got to be concerned about some of the issues that happened at Michigan for Seattle, and I'm sure Seattle was around Frank for 4 years and know him well, and to invest that kind of money, and they got to feel really confident, especially considering they're going to be on a tight cap for a while because they've paid the quarterback so much money. So I think that John Schneider and Pete are going back to that model of, look, we're going to have a really good draft like they did years ago when they made all those good players, and sometimes you just have to make those decisions. I mean, sometimes the player prices himself out of your own market, whether it's Chandler Jones for the Patriots, who only went for a second-round pick, basically, or Trey Flowers, who was a good player up there, drafted in the fourth round and signed for $16 million. I mean, sometimes the market just makes it easy for you.
Now, Mike, what about Rashawn Gary with the torn labrum? How far, you know, do you see him dropping?
You know, that's a hard one because we don't have the medical, Vinny, to really know where they're going to go and how bad the labrum is. I mean, last year, Hurst wasn't supposed to be able to even play, and he played the whole season. So unless you really get privy to those medicals and how bad it is, I mean, like Jeffrey Simmons, I've talked to teams around the league, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, he's got a clean ACL tear. They think he'll be ready to go by November. You know, unless you really get deep dive into it, you really don't know. And I think that's going to determine where he goes. I think if he's got a bad labrum and it's going to be a 12 to 18 month rehab, something like that, then it's going to really drop him.
Now, Mike, what about, what are you hearing with Arizona? I mean, you know, I mean, there's, you know what I used to do this time of year? Tell the truth because nobody believed me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I don't know what to believe with Arizona. Here's what I do believe instinctively. Cliff Kingsbury was hired to save Josh Rosen. That's why he got the job. What the Cardinals felt like, they're going to follow the Rams model, which is, look, we'll hire a young offensive coach to coach this quarterback like the Rams did with Jared Goff, and if he fixes the quarterback, we'll move forward. So I'm going to hang on that. Like, to me, I think that if you're Steve Kahn, you've been there 7 years, you haven't really drafted well, it's fortunate that you're friends with the owner because most people – you know, would have probably have lost their job by now based on the drafts that he's had out there and the amount of first-round picks that really haven't hit. So I think you got to really see, can this kid help me get Josh Rosen to become a better player? If I take the quarterback, and now I've got two quarterbacks, I'm not going to get value for Rosen. I've overpaid for him. I mean, traded a 3 and a 5 to get him. I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Now, what did you think when you saw the Raiders send all the scouts home and everything?
You know, Vinny, I come from a school, you know, Belichick, we'd had very few people in the draft room. Yep. To me, if scouts aren't decision makers, then they don't belong in the draft room, and they let information out that doesn't belong. I mean, look, the fact that it got out tells you there's leaks in the organization. And if you got so much information that you want to protect and you want to guard it, you know, and you can't really feel comfortable. I think the one thing that's been clear all throughout the scouting circles this year, if you talk to anybody in personnel or any general manager or any scout, I mean, the Raiders are making changes. That's there's no doubt about it. They were making changes. I don't think there'll be very many people left in Oakland from the old regime. And it's better off for those guys to get a fresh start and have some time to do it than it is to get sent home because they're not going to impact the draft anyway.
Mike, you know what's funny is because when, you know, when I was in San Fran and John Gruden was in Philly and Jim Gruden, who was his dad, was on my staff, all of a sudden, you know, Philly was picking right before us. Philly, you might have been in Philly. Philly took the guy that we had that we were going to pick every time. And you know what I learned about that, Mike? Hire the son, not the dad. The dad always wants to protect the kid.
No doubt. No doubt. And look, you and I have been around scouts enough to know that you give scouts a buffet line and you give them some food and beer, and they'll sing stories forever. You can learn a lot.
Hey, now, Mike, you expecting a lot of trades tomorrow?
Well, look, there's been 10 quarterbacks picked in the last 3 years, okay, in the first round. 9 of them have been a result of a trade. Now, 3 of those guys have been a result of a trade before the draft started. But, yeah, I do. I think if these 4 quarterbacks are going in the first round, which I don't think there's 4 first-round quarterbacks. For me, when I say a first-round quarterback, I'm saying a guy who's a potential starter and can lead your team into the playoffs. I don't see that with this group. But that being said,
how many you like? How many do you see?
I think they're all really backup-type players. I think Haskins' lack of anticipation, his lack of timing, and his lack of rhythm is going to cause some problems, and I think it's going to take him some time.
That would be very interesting, especially if the Redskins are going to sell the farm to try to get up there, probably just because he's homegrown, and maybe that saves Bruce Allen's job since, you talk about time.
I don't think, based on the last 5 years, Bruce could lose his job with anything he does.
Now, hey, what did you think of, because there's a lot of talk here of DK Metcalf, and I compare him to Perriman.
DK Metcalf is what we all talk about before the combine, right? Everybody talks about, don't fall in love with the fast guy.
Yep.
Don't fall in love with the workout guy. And then, of course, as soon as somebody runs fast, and as soon as somebody jumps high, we fall in love with them. He's had 26 catches. I mean, the guy has never – he runs 3 routes. You can't run 3 routes in the NFL and win. You got to run a lot of routes. And you got to have instincts to play the receiver position. I think it's a really – it's a big-time hit if you hit with them, but there's a lot of risk with that pick.
Hey, Mike, how about this? 0 catches on third down.
Of course, because he doesn't run any routes, Vinny.
He doesn't
run any routes.
Now, talk about what you think, because I've given my opinion. Eric DaCosta, first year in the chair, probably trading back, wouldn't you think? Safe pick?
Without a doubt. I mean, DaCosta's going to trade back. I've never seen a guy give more interviews before the draft than DaCosta. He leads the league in interviews before the draft. He's got to. And I think there's no doubt he's going to move back. I think it's going to be the safe pick.
Now, offense, if they got stuck at 22, and Bradbury was there, you comfortable with that?
Well, look, I don't like to take inside offensive linemen if they can't play 3 positions. And I have a problem thinking all these guys can play both guards and center.
Now,
if you just take a center only, I think you really run the risk. And I think McCoy's a really good player at A&M, but I think he's a center only.
And what do you, Bradbury field is, Bradbury's smaller than McCoy.
Exactly.
How about Lindstrom up at BC? Do you like him?
I do. But, I think he could probably play 3. I'm not sure he's rated as high as some of these guys. He's going to go in the first. I think he's a starter from day one. I think he's a good player.
Now, Sweat, you concerned about, his heart? I guess some people are.
There's no doubt. He's off a lot of boards. I mean, I think there are. I think he's one of the better rushers. I think this draft has a real dilemma in it, in the sense that it's really filled with a lot of guys who are better at being the fifth rusher than they are the fourth rusher. Very few guys in this draft can line up at defensive end and win with power, win with inside charge, and win with being able to race the corner. A lot of the guys can run around the corner, but in the NFL, running around the corner does you no good at all. Because what you do is when you're past the quarterback, it becomes a 10-on-11 game. So, those guys really aren't a factor. You got to have guys that can power back. I don't think there's very many of those. I think guys like Burke from Florida State looks really good, can run around the corner, but the problem is when he has to come buddy right down the middle, it's not that hard for the offensive lineman to block
him. Now, Mike, just because you've been around a long time, now, philosophy-wise, can a quarterback go from 58% to become accurate? I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. What did you think of him last year, and do you think that he can ever become an accurate passer?
I think he will struggle. I think if you watched him from his freshman year at Texas A&M game when he played in that game and to his next year when he won the Heisman, he really improved. I think that he did improve in that area. I think if I were Eric DaCosta, I would make sure I had receivers like what they have in Houston who have wide catch radiuses.
Yep.
You're going to need guys that can catch away from their body and can really have a wide grasp of the football. So you got to build a team around the quarterback, what he can do. I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to ever be pristine accurate. I don't think he's ever going to get there. But I think if the right team with guys with big catch radiuses and can catch the ball away, you can't have body catchers and an inaccurate quarterback. That doesn't work because he doesn't put the ball in the body all the time. So I think you're going to have to build your team a certain way and a certain style that would fit him.
Now, Mike, what second round, which, you know, the Ravens are going to end up having either 1-2 or 2-2s when they trade back. Who do you think fits that mold? Because I think all the receivers are second-round receivers. I don't really see a first-round receiver. Which one fits that mold in your mind? Because all Harb's talking about is blocking.
Well, I think, you know, it's an important quality because, look, if you have a small slot receiver, you can't really run the ball out of 11 personnel to the weak side because the guy's not blocking anybody. So you become a one-dimensional run team. You end up running the ball only to the side of where the tight end is, and most tight ends in the NFL can't block anyway. You know, so I think, look, the Harry kid from Arizona State is really a good player.
Yep.
I think he's got size. He can play in the slot. He can move around. I think he's had production in college. I think he's been a factor in that area. And so I think he's got a chance to really step up. And the Harmon kid from NC State, the same thing. I mean, they produced in college. They got big bodies. They can play multiple positions. I think both those kind of guys are going to go in that area.
Michael Lombardi, The Athletic, former NFL executive. Real quick, Michael, tell us about your podcast.
Well, the podcast is kind of the unfiltered talk about the NFL, talking about teams, talking about the draft, talking about anything that happens in the NFL. Adnan Virk and I are going to break it down every Tuesday, Thursday. This week we'll have another one dropping because of the draft. It's kind of an open dialogue about all the things that are going on in the NFL, and we really with no agenda. We're not going to protect anybody until we're just going to talk about football in an unfiltered way.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Guys. Thanks,
yep.
Vinny.
Yep.
Michael Lombardi joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.